Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Yeah. Stukes and Barrel, man. How cool are we? T.I. just stopped by because we're cool like that. You'll hear our conversation with Tip. That'll be about 6:20 right here on Dukes and Bell. Right now, they're talking about college football. And Carl and I were trying to resist the temptation to be like, you know, all in on Ohio State. But it's hard not to think Ohio State's going to handle their business. But as Danny Cannell, who joined us earlier, was saying, he kind of likes the under. He thinks that they can maybe Ohio State get into the situation they don't want to be in that Michigan got them in at home. He thinks that maybe Notre Dame can do some of the same things.
I got the Buckeyes in a close game. I'm going to take Notre Dame and the points, and I am going to take the under because I think Notre Dame's going to try to drag Ohio State in the mud with a making it ugly defensive game, and their defense is pretty stout. So I think they'll provide some challenges and not give up the big plays. So I like Notre Dame in the under.
And by the way, that under is 45.5, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, again, 2017, if they're going to be able to score, right. We're talking about Notre Dame. But that is interesting, and I do agree with Danny on this. Both of these defenses are really good. Ohio State's defense won them the semifinal game. Notre Dame's defense pretty much won them their semifinal game, mm-hmm. And their kicker, obviously. But, Mike, 8 points, 9.5. It opened at 9.5.
It's 9.5, right. It's hanging. They're saying it may go to 10.
Well, it opened at 9. They're saying 8 now. Chris, take a look.
Oh, make Notre Dame money. Come on, check that. Going the other way. My bad.
Yeah. No, I just looked at it. 45.5 total. And double check that, Chris. But you're taking the 8?
I just think Ohio State's going to beat them like a drum. But, I mean, Danny makes the case that they are going to – look, it's a great defense. Think about this. Remember Al Golden? Yeah, that Al Golden from the University of Miami.
Okay.
He's the defensive coordinator. He's probably going to get a look now at getting back maybe as a head coach. He's 55. But he's done an amazing job with the defense. They're real physical.
It came down 1 point, Mike. 8.5.
8.5. Okay. I like it. I liked it at 8. Liked it at 9. Loved it at 8.5. Jeremiah Smith, I asked Danny Cannell about him. And, you know, because it's weird. If you follow him, this guy's electrifying. We all know that. But, Carl, if you look at his game log, Michigan game, 5 for 35 in that loss.
Yes.
Tennessee, 6 for 100. And 3, Oregon games. You know, to remind you guys, he was a one-man band in that Oregon game, 187 yards on 7 catches. And then he was a 0 in shoes against Texas.
Yeah, there was
one catch for 3.
A concerted effort, though, Mike, to take him away.
Right.
Texas said, if we lose, he's not beating us like
but
that.
But do you feel that Chip Kelly's got to scheme it? Or just if you commit to it, you can't take him away?
No, I always feel like, Mike, you can find ways to get your best players the ball. I do. And this notion like, okay, first half, that might be the first half. Second half is not going to be that way. We're going to move them around. We're going to create matchups. If you're playing zone, then we're going to do quick hitters. There's things that you can do to get them the ball. I think, though, that Texas came in and said, you're not going to do what you did against Oregon to us. And they still were able to win that game. But, again, they won it because their defense was so stout. And that's the thing that I'm with Danny about the under. I do like the under myself. But at the end of the day, I just think Ohio State has better players. I think they're just a better team.
Here's Danny talking about Ohio State, the adversity overcoming it. You know, it's been well documented how bad it couldn't be any lower than after Michigan and what's going to happen on Monday.
Yeah, they definitely have answered any questions. And even more so, Carl, how about the question marks they had around them after facing Michigan and losing the last game of the regular season, you know, for the fourth time in a row to a team that was basically more physical than them. As you mentioned, like Michigan's defense was able to shut down that offense. And then they couldn't run the football against Michigan, and they got run over somewhat by, you know, Khalil Mullings, the Michigan running back. Mm. So they had a pretty massive gut check, and it was probably a win that helped them get to where they are today, because I do think it galvanized a team which had been just praised all season long. They were the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They were this $20 million roster. They had pretty much been blowing through their opponents. And even the Oregon game, they lost on the road. It was close, and people just didn't even care about that. It was like, oh, they'll be fine. Mm. But that game, like all of a sudden, Ryan Day came under scrutiny again. It really did feel like it pulled that team together. And then they just come out like a shotgun out of it, or, you know, just like a cannon out of the chute in the playoffs. They blow through Tennessee. They blow through Oregon in the rematch in the Rose Bowl, which was probably the most surprising outcome of this playoff. And then they get another nice win against Texas with the, you know, the play now that's going to go down in infamy, the Jack Sawyer, you know, return. So they have been all that they were the thought to be at the beginning of the season. It probably didn't go as smoothly as we would have thought, but that's what great teams do. They're able to endure some adversity, and they took that, stared it right down, and here we are on the verge of a national championship for the Buckeyes.
You know, you feel Riley Leonard is going to have like that sort of like Drew Aller, you know, Sam Darnold moment, because, you know, he's a guy that it's almost like there's nothing special about him. He just wins, and we know he's athletic. We know he's gritty coming from, you know, from the ACC. Well, technically, you know, Ryan's in the ACC, but getting the transfer. But you trust Riley Leonard to answer the call against what Ohio State's going to throw at him?
I don't. I just feel like he's been average.
Yeah, I know he's. No, I've seen him. I saw Florida State kick the crap. He's tough as nails.
No, but, Duke,
but,
yeah.
he's going to be able to make those. You need some wow moments in this game.
Well, here's the thing. He came back in, and you brought this up about the concussion, right? Was he concussed? Was he not? He plays, and there's no debating. They needed him to win that game. Now, I thought the backup came in and did really well. We're talking about the semifinal game against Penn State. But Mike, I don't think you can be average in this game against Ohio State's defense. It's sort of like what Quinn Ewers did. Mm. He was okay. But he wasn't spectacular. I think you need some spectacular plays. And I got to say this, too, and I'll put this out there, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But Caleb Downs is coming back to the crib. Caleb Downs went to Mill Creek, led them to a high school championship here just a couple of years ago. Commits to Nick Saban, goes to Alabama. Number one player, blah, blah, blah. Mike starts as a true freshman at Alabama and is balling in the SEC. Nick leaves. He goes, I'm going to Ohio State. He's coming back to the crib. He's going to have tons of people at this game for a chance to win a national championship. He's their starting safety. He returns punts and kicks for him. This kid is great, and I'm just bringing it up to talk about the connection to Atlanta. There are a lot of kids, man, that come out of this area, you know, and you go, well, again, Georgia, we know he didn't want to go or didn't end up going there, but Caleb Downs is one of the best players in the country as a true sophomore.
Right, and we said this before, you know, that stigma of the Brian Kelly Notre Dame, that's gone. Marcus Freeman's got he's a young guy, and he's, you know, he's got the vibe and the juice, and this team responds to it. We played yesterday the halftime speech where he's getting the guys fired up, and is, you know, just is really cool stuff that he's got going on there. He's got so much more charisma. These guys are buying into it than Coach Kelly, who's, you know, wearing out his welcome down in Baton Rouge. From the Notre Dame website, from the Sports Illustrated Notre Dame website, basically no blank Sherlock, but some of these things are interesting. Notre Dame's got to play clean, obviously keep the penalties
That's
out.
Right.
Every battle's got to go Notre Dame's way. Got to win those 50-50 game-changing plays. Basically what Ohio State did against Texas.
Texas, yep. Yep, the turnovers and the... You know, I can't say it, Horn.
Say it.
Strip sack.
Strip sack.
Scoop, score, you know, all that stuff. That's the stuff.
Strip sack.
That's what they
need. You guys are ready. You're ready for Arch Manning.
That's what.
You needed Arch Manning in that red zone. You know what? There's another guy who got knocked into tomorrow in that game.
You sound like Jack right now.
You need Arch Manning on that wall. I've seen enough of. Who's going to do it? You, Quinn Ewers. You, Sarkisian. Yeah, man. By the way, real quick, this is from the SI article. Irish got to take calculated risks. Yes.
I
you
agree.
Can't just sit there, you know. Yeah, if you're going to sit there and play the field position game, okay, to a point, you got to let it loose, right?
You do, and that's what I'm talking about. You're going to have to make some spectacular plays. Every play doesn't have to be, but you're going to need two or three of those, I think, to win this game. Now, if they do pull that off, their defense is good enough, Mike, to win this football game. I'm talking about Notre Dame's defense is good enough to win this football game. Marcus Freeman is going to have these guys ready, especially on that side of the ball. I'm just the suspect on the offensive side. That's my issue.
The thing is, in the Penn State game, we were joking around about it on Monday. It was like, this is the worst wide receiver play I've ever seen in a big college game.
Awful.
Just we're used to SEC and that. I'm not making this about the SEC. It could be any conference. They just don't really have those rock star guys. Now, Jaden Greathouse came up with some big plays. He put a juke on on the defensive back who fell down, and Riley Leonard hit him for the touchdown. But you know, on the season, Greathouse has got like 450 yards. I mean, none of these dudes are really what you see on the Ohio State right side, where you know you've got you know running backs that are you know on the cusp of 1,000 yards, and they've got great running backs in Notre Dame. But Jeremiah Smith, just curious, can Jeremiah Smith actually have two games where he's really nothing? I just feel he's going to. I think he's primed to explode on Monday night.
Yeah, and if he does, then it's going to be a long night for Notre Dame because the kid is very talented. He's going to be in the next one of the next highly touted, highly picked stars coming out of Ohio State. And by the way, when you start talking about receivers, and we've been saying this about Georgia, and I know Kirby Smart and his staff, you know, they're intent on getting some more guys. But all these receivers coming out of LSU and Ohio State, Mike, year after year after year, what's going on? Like these are the kind of guys we should be seeing in Athens year
more people.
After year. I'm just telling you, go look at the kids that have been drafted at Ohio State at wide receiver. Go look at LSU's just the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, you're bringing some dudes in that can certainly do the job and certainly, you know, getting a big targets for Gunnar Stockton and just catch the freaking ball. It just, the wide receiver play was so disappointing. I don't have to remind Georgia fans, you saw it. And that's why some guys say you're getting too hard on Bobo because he did scheme these guys open. These knuckleheads couldn't catch the football.
Couldn't catch it.
You know, but you're right. This is something that Georgia needs to be better in the trenches. That's why I'm not trying to, like, you know, some Georgia fans get so upset. Don't let's not fall back in that Mark Richt era with, well, can't get any better than this. Oh, no, come on. You know, Stacey Searles.
Kirby's not saying that.
No, and he better not be. Stacey Searles, I mean, you're on blast. Your offensive line couldn't do the job. Some of these guys are gone, and you better have some other guys because there has been a serious fall off from Sam Pittman to Matt Luke, as we said the other day, to where Searles is at. I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, I don't either. I'm talking about these national championship games and these moments. And it's why Georgia was able to go back-to-back. This was not a concern. You had guys that were going to catch the ball when it was thrown to them, right? Now, they might not have been Justin Jefferson or Malik Nabers, but those are the caliber kinds of guys we're talking about, Mike, that should be going to Athens and catching the rock.
And then, of course, you know, on the other side, we mentioned, like, we love Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker, but you just didn't have the years that Georgia goes back, they get the rematch victory against Indy in Indy against Alabama. And of course, you know, the other year where they beat Ohio State here and then go kill TCU, you had a front seven that reminds you of what Ohio State's got.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Sark trying to do that. I mean, come on, toss sweep. What are you doing? And then Notre Dame out physical. Let's be honest, Notre Dame just beat the snot out of Georgia at the point of attack, set the tone, and with the exception of a few explosive plays, Notre Dame dominated. So that's what Kirby was living with. The years they went back-to-back. How do you get that back?
Yeah, and by the way, I understand because I already hear dog fans going, Dukes, what about Ladd McConkey? Lord, you see?
Yes, I know.
We know.
But you were supposed to replace – Georgia fans are –
That's right.
You're supposed to replace a unicorn with another unicorn.
Because that's what's going on. That's what I'm talking about. That's what LSU's doing. I mean, Justin Jefferson left. Malik Nabers came right in, and when I got this, like, that's what should be going on.
Well, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the NFL, and Jeremiah Smith plugs in at Ohio State.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know, for everything that we talked about with Brock, we knew he was special.
Right.
No disrespect.
He could have gone pro. If this was the college
freshman
year.
He could
have gone pro. Exactly.
Freshman year.
Had been a first rounder.
Oscar Delp, no disrespect. Oscar's going to be fine. He's coming back. He's going to be fine. I'm just talking about those explosive guys on the outside. And in this game, I would tell you Ohio State has more of that and more ability to do that than Notre Dame does.
Chris just said in my ear, and it's a valid point, Chris. You know, what if Ra-Ra Thomas doesn't get in the off-field trouble? Oh, what if Kobe Young doesn't get in trouble?
Mike, it hurt him. It hurt.
They brought Ra-Ra Thomas in because he was going to be supposed to be that kind of game-changing guy, you know, and we'll see. But it just that was where Georgia, if you look at this season, there was never really a time, maybe other than the Texas game, where you felt they looked anything like the Kirby National Championship teams, right? And I guess this is where everybody is kind of going to be living in this world where your margin for error is so slim in recruiting, in your depth, injuries can take you out or suspensions can take you out.
Yeah.